Are you ready to sell more books? I'm Brian Cohen.
And I'm Claire Taylor. If you're ready to get your books into the hands of the right readers
and make some more money,
you've come to the right podcast.
And now it's time to talk tips, tricks, and news to help you sell more of your books. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Sell More Book Show, episode 465. I'm Brian Cohen from Best Page Forward, joined by Claire Taylor from FFS Media. Claire, oh my gosh, today was like the Sell More Book Show, a back-end work day, and we're working on it hard, trying to make sure everybody sees it, who needs it. So how are you doing on this fine day?
I'm doing great. We recently got a hammock. And so, yeah, my life has changed tremendously since we got that hammock. So that, I mean, honestly, that it sounds like such a trivial thing, but that is really what's going on over here. I am waiting for the overcast day to clear up so I can go lay in the hammock.
Nice.
Not work related.
I had a hammock under my lofted dorm room bed in college, and I was like, this is going to be great, but it's like not exactly a lot of space to stretch out. So it wasn't as relaxing as I had kind of hoped it would be. But yeah, that's awesome about your hammock, which outside sounds like a much better idea.
Yeah, it's starting to get warm here in Texas. I'm a little sunburned, actually, because I fell asleep on it, which I'm like, that's perfect. That's the only way to get sunburned is falling asleep in a hammock.
Yeah,
so
absolutely agreed.
I mean, I do have other things going on in life. I'm moving my Kickstarter along, and I started a new cozy mystery series, and that's been fun to dive into. And just, yeah, I'm almost wrapping up quarter one and feeling pretty good about it so far.
Good. And a lot of people just freaked out. Like, it's already the end of quarter one. I mean, you got three more weeks. Don't worry.
Yeah. But there's time.
But yeah, I mean, it really does go fast. And that's awesome about fulfilling Kickstarter fun and all of that good stuff. I don't have too much going on this month. I'm trying to do less, and I'm trying to embrace that and trying to shut out the things in my life that make me want to do more. So we'll see. The battle is on, Claire.
It sounds good. I'm proud of you, Brian.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, let's go into previous show's question. This was from 463. Have you not pursued a typical profitable publishing path because you didn't agree with the terms of a company or website? If so, what were the terms? Darren Sapp said, I traditionally published my second book because they could not reach an audience. They could reach an audience I couldn't, which in his case was the people of Ghana. That said, I couldn't get them to fix a typo before the second and third printing. They gave me grief over creating an audiobook, and they've accidentally taken it off of sale on Amazon. So for me, it's the lack of control. Imagine owning and operating a business, but constantly having to get someone's permission. Yeah, not really cool for me either.
Yeah, I'm with Darren on this.
Yeah, good stuff, Darren. Thank you for sharing. You can answer the question of the week at sellmorebookshow.com or in the Sell More Book Show After Party Facebook group. Claire, I think it's time for our top story of the week.
Let's do it.
Okay. We did get a comment saying, please get real sounders. We don't have them yet. So
I don't know what you mean by real. I feel like, Brian, your singing is pretty real to me.
It's real something to you. All right. Well, let's go into the top story. Punishing the victims. Is Amazon punishing authors because pirates are selling their books? Over the last few weeks, some authors are having their books removed from the Amazon store or Kindle Unlimited after Amazon finds copies of their books for sale on illegal pirate websites. When an author puts their book into KDP Select, it makes it available to Kindle Unlimited readers, but in turn, the author agrees to make their book exclusive, their ebook exclusive to Amazon. Quote, this means that you can't publish the work on your website or sell digital copies through another digital platform or publisher. writes Jonathan Bailey of Plagiarism Today. Most authors follow those rules, but pirates don't care about the rules. And when Amazon detects the book on a non-Amazon site, they supposedly threaten, blame, and punish the author. While some note that Amazon is using bots to detect non-exclusive books, they are using them well. Quote, any reasonable exclusivity agreement would acknowledge that piracy is not a violation of the contract. Piracy is outside the control of the author and not something they should be punished for, says Bailey, who says it would be simple to see that the author is not responsible and has no control over theft. Others note that the stolen books are being stolen from the Amazon site, no less. Quote, all this speaks to Amazon's priorities when it comes to books, Bailey said. They're more concerned about authors breaking an exclusivity agreement than they are stopping piracy. Claire, this is a problem. When I've posted on social media saying, talking about KU or not KU, I'm seeing multiple comments saying, well, I can't join KU because I'm afraid about my books coming down. And that is a problem for Amazon because Amazon wants more books in KDP Select. But right now, the ability to protect said authors is not going so well. What do you think about this?
Yeah, this is a huge publicity issue for Amazon if they want people to continue to give them exclusivity. I also think that you could have 20 authors get dinged by this, right? Or you could have even 200 authors get dinged by this. And it's still a very small proportion of the authors on KDP and, you know, just publishing on Amazon in general. So I don't think that it's anything to freak out about, but I think that it is, you know, it's always a possibility. I think it's probably a lower risk than, you know, driving in a car, but it's the problem is that the stakes are very high because if this happens, it can take down all of your books and there is no clear path for appealing it, which has always been the issue. You can appeal it. You're not guaranteed to be heard. It's hard to get in touch with someone. And they can just be like, no, you should have gotten it off the pirate site. It doesn't make any legal sense. It's not in anyone's interest for Amazon to keep doing this. So I think really the problem is that Amazon doesn't see the urgency of shutting this down and making it easy for authors to appeal when something like this happens, so that energy can go somewhere instead of all over the internet saying Amazon is shutting down accounts randomly.
Yeah, because that people hear that. And even if it is, like you said, 20 out of a million, that a lot of those million will hear about the 20 because it is, as you said, it's a PR problem. And I think that this is legally murky, in my opinion. Like you said, it's a legal problem. Honestly, I don't know what has to happen for it to get solved quicker. I hope it gets solved more quickly. And I think that at some point, the thing that would get this solved is maybe if some of those authors banded together and they did take legal action, because this is not... This has to be a violation of something, you'd assume.
Right. It's going to take collective action to get anything done on this, but it's also complete nonsense that authors have to do that. Amazon is the reason this is a problem. Amazon is. And so why do authors have to appeal to Amazon? Hey, people are pirating our books and you're shutting us down. Amazon, like, just to go on a separate side rant, Amazon doesn't have to do this exclusivity thing. They don't have to. And they don't have to enforce it like this, but they do. And so the point that some of these books are being pirated from Amazon is legit. And I just think that... You shouldn't have to create some sort of alliance or union to protect yourself to defend yourself against being punished for being victimized.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense to me. I really think that It is in nobody's interest for Amazon to keep doing this, and it's in Amazon's best interest to figure out a way where this doesn't keep happening, because we have been reporting on stuff like this for the entire part of the show that I've been on, you know, the years right. that I've been on here. We report on the same thing over and over again, and it's just like, come on. Like, you know, this is going to be a problem every time you roll out these bot checks. Like, yeah. let's get on it. Let's preempt it with some sort of like, hey, authors, if you're hit with this, here's where you appeal it. Click this link.
If even just they had that, it wouldn't be as big a problem.
Right. Because I don't think that they would be overwhelmed with appeals necessarily. But if they did receive a lot of appeals, they have to find a way to deal with that and to staff for that and to address that, because it's appeals to a system that they've created that is harming people's ability to make money. So
they can't just sweep the problem under the rug. Claire, what can an author do? We're into the hot potatoes of wisdom. What can an author do to protect themselves from piracy and from being punished by these tireless bots of Amazon?
So I tend to be of the mind that there's not much you can do to protect yourself from piracy. And there's clearly not much you can do to protect yourself from the tireless Amazon bots. It is possible that you're going to get hit by both. So I think what an author should be doing is looking at how to build a business that can weather that if it happens. How do you proceed? What is your plan B if that happens? If you spend all of your time trying to, you know, send cease and desist letters to pirates, you're really taking a bunch of time away from your business that is not usually going to amount to anything, right? Pirates aren't going to be like, oh, well, I'm going to suddenly be law abiding, right? It's just, it's a system that is pretty flawed in that. So don't spend your time on the pirates unless it's something really, really obvious and egregious that's parading as an actual, you know, sales platform. And just figure out, okay, if that happens, if I'm shut down by Amazon tomorrow, what do I need to have in place? And then work on that.
I like it. I think that's
all right, smart. Brian.
Yep.
A lot of authors think it's too risky to be in KU these days, but how much of a problem do you think it is?
I think that there are some risks being in Kindle Unlimited, particularly this piracy issue that Amazon does need to work on. But we have to remember that it isn't like darned if you do, darned if you don't. There are a lot of genres that are having success wide. And you have to remember that this isn't the only option in town. And if going wide allows you to sell direct and to sell to libraries and to sell on Apple and Kobo and whatnot, then that might be worth it. It's difficult in some genres where it seems to be dominated from top to bottom by Kindle Unlimited books. And there are genres and subgenres that have that situation going on. So you need to kind of weigh that. But, you know, something I think for KU authors that can help them diversify in the way that we've talked about here is by making sure they are wide with their paperbacks and that they have the ability to sell and get people on their email list through their paperbacks so that it doesn't just have to be focused 100% on Amazon.
I love that. Yeah. People forget that you can be wide with your paperbacks and audiobooks and still keep your ebooks in KU.
Exactly. Exactly. So, Claire, it's time to move on to the we don't have a sounder yet. Wow, 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 wow. The lightning round. Best one yet?
I never wanted a sounder. I just want you to come up with something every week.
Okay. That sounds good to me. We'll have to have a vote, and Claire gets 2,000 votes. So, Claire, another thing that's going on in the news is people worried about their fiction being used to train AI. How diligently do you think authors need to protect their work from being a part of this training?
Okay, so I don't think that authors need to be very diligent about protecting their work insofar as it being used to train AIs, because I don't see at this point that there's a lot we can do as authors to protect it. I don't think that there's a level of diligence that we can practice that will keep it from succumbing to that fate. That is just how things are going. And until there are more legal, legal matters in place to protect our work from being used that way, which there really aren't right now. And there won't be for a while, because the people who make those laws are not educated in AI. I think the Supreme Court just, you know, there's a quote from the Supreme Court recently that said, well, we're not the nine most knowledgeable people about the internet. And I feel like that's kind of how the legal system works. So I don't think there's anything you can do. I think you should keep working and not worry about it, because you are still a valued commodity as a human being. And I think that we will see that human-made works are assigned more value than AI works in the future.
That is helpful. Thank you for your thoughts on that, Claire.
All right, Brian. If you could have a masterclass from any author you wanted, who would it be?
If I could have a masterclass from any author, I'm not necessarily going to go for the person making $10 million a year. And that's the thing. Like, I don't have someone who comes to mind right now. But typically, when someone would be asked this question, they're thinking, oh, the biggest, baddest sellers on Amazon. But you know, usually the people who are a couple of steps ahead of you have some very valuable information that the people making $10 million a year do not possess. And this is why I've loved getting coaching, because coaches are often folks who still know some of that mid-tier info while also having worked with people at higher levels. Higher level people will tell you, well, you got to do these seven things. They didn't do those seven things to get successful. They probably forget what some of the things they were doing at that moment in their career. So the person I need a masterclass from is someone in my genre who is a couple steps ahead of me, because they're going to give me the info I need to move forward.
That's so smart. I love that.
Thank you. Thank you. So Claire, you have probably heard the advice, I know I've heard it, to not publish your first book. Write it, get those words out of your system. Do you think that's good advice?
Yeah, I don't know about the advice to not publish your first book. I would say that publishing a book is a process as well, and you can use that first book that you wrote to practice publishing. The only pro tip I would add is publish it as an ebook. Maybe don't publish it as a print book for a little bit. You're going to want some print copies to hand to people, maybe. But here's the thing. If you just publish it as an ebook, you can unpublish it and it disappears from the internet. So if later on down the line you decide, I don't want this to be available to sell anymore, you can take it down for from sale, and then it's gone. Whereas if you publish a print book, there's those copies floating around. Amazon will have, like, you know, the consignment or third party copies available. And so it could still be out there, which is not a huge thing. Probably no one will care. But yeah, I would say go ahead and publish it. Give yourself a little trial run. Why not?
I like your advice on that one, because I published my first book in paperback and it has so many typos and I will never fix them.
Yeah, no, my first book has been taken down, but it's still there. I think you could pay $300 to get it.
Nice. Can't wait.
Would not recommend on that one.
Yeah.
Okay, Brian, how many drafts do you write today versus your first few books?
So I've always been a person who wants to work as little as possible. And so when I write books today, I probably get a maximum of about three or four drafts. Back in the day, it was probably four or five, and then I just got sick of it. And so I am not the person with 50 different versions of drafts. I would rather get it out the door. Of course, we want to get any errors out of it, but I am not a person who likes the editing process. I will get alphas involved, betas involved to help me earlier in the process, just so there aren't as many drafts floating around, because I'm over it and I don't want to do more than 3 or 4. Your mileage may vary.
Yeah, exactly. And I have clearly been reading too many paranormal books lately because I was like, alphas, do we really need them for this process? Oh, right, Claire, you're an author.
We do.
Anyway. Yeah.
So, Claire, what would be your ideals? What would be your ideal writer's retreat?
My ideal writer's retreat, it would depend on what I wanted out of it. I think that's very important to know what you want out of the event. So if I wanted something like some peace and quiet for a writer's retreat, which I don't need because I work from home in dead silence all day, then it would be, you know, a nice location that had a separate room for me. But I am putting on a writer's retreat in October, and I have structured that one around growth and transformation. That is the process. That is the purpose of it. And so for that, there's structured time in the mornings we're going to have. We're going to do some workshops, and then we're going to have lots of time for food and chat to let the ideas percolate, and then free time in the afternoon to do any reflections and take action. And I designed it that way because I think that's my perfect retreat.
I love it. That's awesome. Nice softball for you there.
Yeah.
So, Claire.
There would be a hammock, too. A hammock.
I know. Yes, you need a hammock.
Apparently required now. Yeah.
You need a hammock. Claire, we need a question of the week. We talked about the joys of people getting the boot from Amazon. We talked about, obviously, some different questions in the lightning round. What do you want to ask our wonderful readers, listeners, authors today?
I think we should ask, what is your plan B if that were to happen to you tomorrow on Amazon?
Yeah, if you were to have your account taken down from Amazon, what would your plan B be? You can answer the question of the week over at the After Party Facebook group or at the website sellmorebookshow.com. We are also starting a YouTube channel. We'll get the links out to that and everything, but we'll be posting our videos and our little snippets there. So you can ask the questions there too, and we will try to fish them out of the comment section. So,
yeah, and be sure to subscribe.
Subscribe. Wait,
isn't that what they say?
Yeah. Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe.
I saw a joke post the other day. It was like, have a werewolf character whose name is Like and Subscribe. And it just seemed like a good one.
I love it.
Yeah. So like and subscribe. Claire, I know you're getting stuff together, but... Is there any FFS media stuff people should be paying attention to in the month of March?
Yeah, I'm sending out a lot of emails. Okay. I ask people what they're struggling with, and we are doing some email series maybe once or twice a week. I'm going to send out a question and my response to it. So I think it's going to be really, really helpful because these are very common problems. So we can, first of all, realize that whatever we're going through in our writing career is not unique, and there are other people dealing with it, and it's not just some fault of our own. And then figure out some steps to make life a little less of a struggle.
I like it. I like it.
So make sure you're subscribed to my list, ffs.media/join.
Do it.
And that'll get you on there.
Love it. I'm doing a webinar with Amazon on Thursday, which is cool. Mandeep from the Amazon Ad Educators and myself from the Amazon Ad Educators, they're trying to work out a go-to webinar breakout rooms. I think that it'll work as they are expecting it to. It's the first time I think they're doing it. So I've been sending out the link via emails. If you can't find it, I can hit you up, but... it was kind of fun to see my name in a subject line for Amazon ads because I don't think that's happened before. So a feather for my cap. Very, very cool. And go check it out. We'll be talking about ad budget rules, which are a thing.
I did see that in my inbox. I was like, Brian Cohen. Who's that guy?
He seems all right.
Sounds familiar. Yeah. I don't know where I've heard that name before.
I don't know. Have we seen each other before? but awesome. Go check out Claire's List. Go check out that webinar on Thursday. I think that's at 11 a.m. Eastern. And we're excited to be sharing the show in brand new ways. Appreciate you listening or watching. I hope you have a great rest of your week. And from Claire, I'm Brian. And go sell some books out there. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Sell More Book Show. Visit the website at www.sellmorebookshow.com for detailed show notes and subscription information, or to send us news or comments for use on the show. Also, please take a moment to subscribe to the show and leave us a review. Thank you very much for listening, and happy bookselling.